Good morning. Welcome to each one here this morning. It's good to see each one of you here today. Special welcome to the visitors. It's good to have you here with us. Let's stand for another word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Thank you, God, for bringing us here together to seek you. And how can we praise you enough for your love in sending Jesus that we can have salvation? God, we ask that you would be here with us. We acknowledge that you are here, and we want to worship you today. Bless the service, and may we be challenged and encouraged this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You can turn to John 11 first. As I was seeking the Lord on what he would have me to share, I was also picking songs for an event, and during the night, every time I woke up, there was this one song going through my head over and over. And title of that song was Trust in the Lord, taken from Psalm 37 there. So I was contemplating that song, Trust in the Lord and Do Good. And then in my personal devotions the next morning, I was reading in John 11, about Lazarus, and there were some things that stood out to me here in this passage. So let's start in John 11, starting in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Let's jump down to verse 21. So we'll be reading, we'll be going through several stories in the Bible, and assuming that you know these stories, so we'll be just jumping around and picking out parts of it. Yet in verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So the title today is Trust in the Lord, and we're going to be looking at times that people had a problem or a need, and God did not answer their problem or their prayer in the way that they wanted him to. Down to verse 21. This was after Jesus was come. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So Martha and Mary had sent for Jesus, and knowing that if he would come, he could heal Lazarus. But he just was not coming, and Lazarus died. And his family had to live through the disappointment and heartache of seeing Lazarus die. The disappointment that their close friend, the miracle worker, Jesus, did not show up. There was a quote that I was going to say earlier. The quote is, "The reason we find it difficult to trust God is because we are focused on the immediate removal of our problems, while God is primarily focused on displaying His glory." So think of that as we read these different stories and hear in this chapter. Back again to verse 22. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So just picture Martha having just seen his brother suffering and the disappointment of Jesus not showing up and healing his her brother, and then her brother dying, and when Jesus comes, the second thing Martha says is, "I believe you are the Christ." And I think it brings glory to God when we pray for something, a situation to be taken care of or our problems to be removed, and it seems like He is saying no or not answering, that we still believe and trust Him. We often see His delays some other stories we're going to read, some confusing commands, and we think that it shows that He doesn't care. But He does care. Then later on in the chapter, I didn't write down where it is, but because Lazarus was raised from the dead, then many people believed on Jesus. So they couldn't understand why Jesus was not coming. But in the end, God was glorified. All right. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Just a quick turn there. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are higher. Sometimes we cannot understand what He is doing. All right, let's go to the next story, Exodus 14. This is when the children of Israel were making their exodus out of Egypt, and they go out into the wilderness, and then the Egyptians pursue them. Start in verse 9. Exodus 14:9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And let's go down to verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, before we get there, just imagine how that would have felt to the Israelites. They're trapped between the sea and two mountains, and the army pursuing them, and I'm sure their instinct was to run, get away from the army, but there was nowhere to go. They were trapped. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to say to any of you that are feeling panicked, like you're trapped, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. When they felt like running, God said to stand still. And then Moses was not just sitting there waiting, but he followed God's command to use his rod, hold his rod over the sea. And they may have thought, you know, just imagine what that would have been like if they were told that the Lord would fight for them, and Moses out there just holding his rod over the sea all night long. Imagine at 2 o'clock in the morning when somebody, I doubt they were sleeping, but they would awake and see him there just standing there in the middle of the night and thinking that if God was going to do something, why didn't he just do it right away or instantly? Because if God is going to make a miracle happen, he can just do it. But Moses obeyed the Lord and trusted, and God worked through that, the obedience of Moses. And then all the nations heard about what God had done for the children of Israel. God is primarily focused on displaying his glory. Next one is Judges 7:2. Then God said, the people with thee are too many to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Maybe with incredible skill, the 32,000 men could have gotten the victory over the Midianites. But God said, it's too many. Imagine the story that would have been told of the 32,000 men that fought the Midianites and the fame. Those Israelites can sure fight. But God said it was too many. And imagine the 10,000 that were left after the 22,000 men deserted. Imagine the morale of the 10,000 and how they would have felt to be left alone. But God still said it was too many. And it was whittled down to 300 men. And with the victory that God wrought with the 300 men, the story that would have been told was of God's glory and God's power. Let's go next to 2 Kings 3. Starting in verse 9. So the Moabites were coming up against Israel. Second Kings 3:9. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings to deliver them into the hands of the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Let's jump down to verse 16. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Imagine what that seemed like to the Israelites. There was this big army coming up against them. They were out of water. They were worn out already from their 7 days of traveling. And God says to dig ditches. When you need water, you don't just dig ditches. You at least dig a well. Continuing on in 17. "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord." This water filling the ditches in the valley was a small miracle, a light thing. God will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Jump down to 21. "And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, 'This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil.' And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country." Maybe God has been, or maybe you've been crying out to God to give you water and to give you strength to fight the battle that will be coming up. Maybe God is telling you to dig ditches, and he will give you water and fight, give the enemy into your hand. and the glory that God got from that. It was a miracle that God wrought that day. Let's go on to 2 Chronicles 20. Starting in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20:1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazion Tamar, which is En Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Jump down to 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." I think I was going to find some verses in between there. 18. Verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." So this battle is still coming up. The army is still advancing against them. But because God had answered and said that he would verse 15, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. So that they heard God's words and started praising him even while the army was still advancing. And at this time where the army is still advancing, they could have been doing some drills, some mock battles, trying to develop some more skills before the battle starts. But they were singing and praising God even before the battle was won. Now we go back to 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So God had promised that he would, that the battle was the Lord's. And now the Israelites went into battle arranged like normal, except that they had the singers in the front. And when the people began to sing, the Lord started working his miracle. And the children of Israel didn't even have to fight in the battle. And down in verse 29, and the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So God answered their prayer in a way that they were not expecting, and it brought glory to God. His glory was displayed. That quote again, the reason we find it difficult to trust God is because we are focused on the immediate removal of our problems, while God is primarily focused on displaying his glory. Can you imagine if they were praising before the battle was won, what the praising was like after the battle, when they were raiding the spoils? So when God delays, or the army is trapping you in, and your army of 32,000 that you've gathered together to fight is dwindling away to 300, and when you're drying up, you're thirsty, trust in the Lord. He has a plan, and he has your best in mind. His ways are higher than our ways. I thought of a verse in John 13. It's taken out of context, but I think it fits well. John 13, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Let's read just a few verses in Psalm 37 yet. The verses that the song that inspired me is taken out of. Psalm 37. Starting in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. God bless you all.